Hi, I'm Abby Rosenblum, founder of Social Modern Matchmaking and your host of Ghosted, a podcast about making dating easy and fun again so you can find your boo. Get it? We'll talk with dating experts, coaches, and real clients of mine and single people from around the world. Stick around for corny jokes, dating advice, and deep dives into the psychology behind finding love.
Thanks for coming back to the Ghosted podcast. I am so excited you're here and so excited you're listening. Who knows when this episode is out, but I know I will be on leave, but I'm recording a whole bunch before I leave so you guys have great content to listen to. And this episode is not just for men or women or whatever you identify as. It's for everybody. We're going to talk about the power of touch, exactly the art of touch. It's going to be kind of interesting. You might want to watch the YouTube video for this one because I'm guessing there will be some kind of gesturing as we go. So if you're not on the YouTube, make sure you go over there, the Social Modern Matchmaking on YouTube. And my guest is, of course, the perfect person to talk about this with me. Elizabeth Onica is not your ordinary coach. From her first kiss at the ripe young age of 16, she has been obsessed with what makes an excellent makeout, which I'm sure we're going to have to go into that. Elizabeth, an intrepid explorer at heart, spent over a decade traveling the world solo. Now she applies her passion and intelligence to a new adventure, teaching men how to touch women in a way that truly satisfies them. Drawing on her extensive experience and insight, Elizabeth guides her students toward a deeper understanding of female pleasure and the nuances of physical intimacy. Elizabeth, thank you for being here.
You're so welcome, Abby. It's an honor.
So did this truly all start with your first makeout? I'm sure there's been a lot more that's, you know, gone on so that you got to where you are today.
That's fair. Yeah, I was obsessed with making out at the early age of 16, but it turns out that I didn't think that I was ever going to be teaching it until the ripe young age of 35 or 36. So it took several years before it actually caught on.
And how did you realize, I mean, I feel kind of silly asking this because obviously I know as a matchmaker, there is a definite need for this in the dating world. But how did you come to realize that this was a void that you needed to fill for men?
I made out with a lot of them.
And you're like, you don't know what you're doing.
And I was like, you know, it's good. We're like 6 out of 10, maybe a 6.5 out of 10 in terms of stoke value for me. And I made out with one particular man who was like then taught was like leaps and bounds better than the rest at tracking a woman's turn on. But I just knew from like talking to women and my girlfriends and like having the conversations of, you know, he touches too far too fast, he tries to take off too much too soon, he moves too fast and touches just certain areas of us, and that's not what we want. But women don't want to be the ones teaching their partners how to touch them. Like, it's like beyond a few like adjustments here and there, like we just don't want to be the ones teaching our own men how to touch us. And so no one else was teaching it. And I was like, I'll do it. I'll do it. Like I'm taking it
on for all women out there. Thank you.
I'll do it. I raised my hand. I stood up. I'm serving my country.
Well, thank you for your service. Really, a lot of women out there will just be like so happy that you're doing this.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Why is it you think there is this obstacle, you know, when you get into a relationship, maybe people don't want to say like, oh, he's not a good kisser, but I could help him. They're like, oh, I'm just going to go date someone else.
Yeah, it is a really interesting nexus of a really interesting vacuum of willingness to talk about it. And I think there's a couple things. Number one, touch is not something we are culturally conditioned to talk about, period. And then because touch is what it is, 90% of it is nuance.
Right. It's not like step 1, 2, 3.
It's like, yeah, right. Like step 1, 2, 3 gets you 10% there. But really, it's the nuance of it that actually makes it either delicious or depressing. And nuances are just by what they are. They're difficult to articulate and to be really, you know, precise about. And so you're within the context of a relationship. It's like the most difficult person to talk to about these things. And you have to speak to something you're not used to speaking to. We don't have training on how to do that. and you have to make it your voice and your words and your requests really, really specific to get what you really, really want. And that is just a fool's errand. And so I think that the communication in the bedroom is still really, really important. I think, you know, my thesis is not that we should stop talking about, you know, sex and touch and intimacy, but I like to think of communication doing the big work, like the what do we want here? How is this going on between us? Do we want to try role play? Are you into this? Are you uncomfortable with that? Like things that we would reserve yes and no's and more descriptive language for. But then the art of touch really is, you've got to learn a way to do it non-verbally. And so that's what I teach.
Right. Because, you know, physical touch is obviously a huge part of an intimate relationship.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's having sex or even just like giving someone a hug.
Yes.
You know, even just from the basics, you and I were talking about this the other week.
Yeah.
You know, people ask me, what do I do on a first date? Do I hug her? Do I shake her hand? Like, I'm sure that's even part of this whole conversation.
Yeah. That's what I started was like teaching guys who are single and dating how to connect with women physically on a date. And I noticed, I'm with a partner now, but I noticed that as I was dating these last few years, the difference that it made such a huge difference when a man had a good quality of touch on a date. Like, even if it didn't progress to a kiss, even the fact that he would be able to like touch my hand or touch my elbow when he was ordering or touch my shoulder as he walked around, you know, my chair. It gave me the embodied impression that he's a leader, mm-hmm. that he's a leader, and that he can guide the interaction, he can guide the physicality in a way that I can trust, and that lets me open up. It makes me feel seen, it makes me feel safe, and it makes me feel sexy.
Ooh. So what's kind of like the maybe first, second, third date starter pack for guys who are, you know, trying to more like, you know, embrace this or try it out in terms of touch?
Yeah.
You know, where could they begin there?
Sure. I mean, so the first date touches, and this is actually something that I have in a free PDF manual on my website. If people want to access it, it goes through like the three places that I suggest touching. And one is on the elbow, one is on the lower back, and one is like on the forearm somewhere. So like forearm touch and lower back touch is really good for a first date. The one I just mentioned, like I always love it when I'm standing next to a guy in line and he'll let our elbows touch, or he'll like touch my elbow and, you know, say like, you know, what were you going to order? Kind of gesture to the board, gesture somewhere else, get my attention and shift my attention using a little bit of touch. That's a really good move. A lower back through the, like when she's going through the door, putting your hand gently, like lightly on her lower back, not a push. Don't trip her. Just a little bit of a contact
there.
Not on
her butt, I'm sure.
Not on her butt. Absolutely not on her butt. And these like little touches will give you a lot. They'll let you understand whether or not she like touches back or leans into your touch or moves away from it. If she moves away from it, that is not a rejection per se. So guys, if that happens, don't shut down and don't lose hope. It just means that that particular contact in that particular moment was not the resonant thing for her. So you just don't go into story is my suggestion there. And what do they do with these little touches do for the guy, people listening just on audio? I'm kind of drawing like a linear line, like a linear 40 degree line. It's kind of like it builds kinetic potential toward like a bigger chunk of touch, which is like the first kiss. And a lot of guys want to make that happen on the first date. I think in this sort of the way that dating is happening now, that can be a little bit rushed and a little bit fast. But if it feels really, really alive and really, really great, then, you know, go for it. If it feels like it's a real connection there. Otherwise, I just suggest that the second and the third date are more or less the same placement of touch, but then just longer holds. Like you're touching for longer, you're making contact for longer. And by the third date, you know, hopefully like whether it happens on the first, second or third date, by the time you're kissing her, you want to have been able to like touch something above her collarbones first and have it be like, and have it be, and not have that be awkward. So moving the hair, like for the people on video, moving the hair away from her cheek, moving the hair off of like, just like off of her cheek is a really good one. Like women tend to really like having their hair moved gently on their neck and away from their face. So just making some kind of foray toward the kiss and having that, having the space between you be ready for it, and instead of moving from far away toward a kiss that's jarring, that's like not the essence of the build. So I think that was a very long way of saying build toward where you want to go with smaller touches first. And then that that same trajectory, that same 45 degrees, that holds true when you're behind closed doors and you're moving from, you know, first to second base and second to third and third to home. Like you still want to be building the whole time and never going, never like leaping quickly from one level of intimacy to another, especially in the beginning.
Right. I love that you use the bases too. I feel like that has got to stick around.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do get a lot of questions about the first kiss topic from mostly from guys because they know they're probably going to be the one to initiate it. And some of them are worried, like, do I need to ask her if I can kiss her first? You know, how should I approach that? Should I just go for it? You know, I think I always say that women are the overthinkers, but I think in this area, guys tend towards overthinking a lot too.
Yeah, they do. They really do. I'm curious what you suggest to the gentleman on this one too, because I think that this even within the realm of the quote unquote experts, this one gets hotly debated. My just in general, this is how that my frame on it is, you know, I work with men, men are my clients. I care so much about them and about their mental well-being. And if I put myself in a man's shoes before a first kiss and there's a lot of nervousness and anxiety about how to do it, I feel for that. Like I have compassion for him in that moment. And in my heart of hearts, I would like him to feel centered and grounded and confident. So if a question like, I'm just really attracted to you and I'd love to kiss you right now, would make him feel better in that moment, then 100,000% do it, because he will feel better. He will feel better to her. And then at the very end, women want to be asked way more than men think that they do. Like whenever I have women's panels, the guys ask, like, should I ask, you know, should I ask to kiss women before I kiss them? And the women on the panels are like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. If he asked me if he could kiss me, I would be so happy. It would be like, I'm not an object. I'm an actual person and I actually have a say in this. And I'm not just this like cute piece of arm candy that he's like having his way with. And so I think men get caught up in the, I need to be suave. I've got to be the James Bond. James Bond would never ask, you know, but James Bond would also have been litigated very heavily in the Me Too era. So let's not take all of our cues from him. So yeah, I'm curious what you say about that. But basically I say like, if you doubt at all, ask. If you are 150% sure, then I would say you wouldn't necessarily ask verbally, but you would ask with your kinetic approach. Mm-hmm. You'd put a hand on her lower back. You'd gently like invite her toward you. You'd move the hair away from her face. You'd look her in the eye. You'd wait to see if she looks at your lips, because usually when women want to kiss a man, they will look at his lips. And then if you get all of those signals, if she's moving towards you and her pupils are dilated and she's like smiling and looking at your lips, and you feel 150% sure that like the connection between you is like ready for a kiss and you're confident and you're not anxious at all, then yay, go for it. Give it a shot. But if any of that isn't true, then do yourself a favor and confirm first so that you feel confident in kissing her.
Right. And then also, too, it's like it just like you said, those women on the panel, they're like, I would love for someone to ask me, you know, it's I don't. The thing is, it's like, you know, sure, she might say no. And then great. Glad that you didn't just go for it. But, you know, if you're already kind of getting all those cues and that enough that you're wondering, okay, should I? Yeah. But it's always better to ask. I mean, obviously, consent in every way is preferred for everyone. But, you know, you don't have to necessarily phrase it as like, do I have your permission?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Look, I love how you phrased it earlier. Yeah. What, how was that?
It's like, you said it? So yeah, the way that I like to suggest that guys ask for or state there is essentially it's a statement of desire and it's a request for consent. They both kind of go together. And that's the neat little thing about consent is it's actually this really awesome way to showcase a desire. So I say something like offer a reveal and then make a request. So the reveal is like, mm-hmm. I feel really attracted to you. And I was like so excited to hang out with, I've been so excited to get closer to you and to get to know you tonight. And I'm really wanting to kiss you. Would that be okay? So mm-hmm. You've let her see something of you. You've shown your cards in a way. You've shown your heart. And it requires vulnerability and it requires a lot of confidence to be able to do that. And then women get to feel let in with that. And even if she's not ready, and this is the other place to not shut down, if she says like, oh man, thank you so much. Like, I love knowing that I don't feel ready for a kiss right now, but I really appreciate you asking. Just if she's going to say no, that she's hopefully will say no in a way like that, that just like completely acknowledges your vulnerability and your request. Then that's all it means, that she's not ready right then. And so again, don't go spiraling out in this like death trap of like pessimism about it, because I have said that to men. I have totally said that to men who I later ended up wanting to, you know, have long-term relationships with. I just wasn't ready to kiss them when they wanted to kiss me. And right. And just as a little caveat, one of the main reasons why that was true was because the guys in question had not developed and initiated touch along the date. It was, he hadn't touched me at all on the date, and then he wants a kiss at the end. But her body is warming up to you in every moment along the way. So if you want to be getting closer to her, that groundwork needs to be laid.
Yeah. No, it's a really good point. You can't all of a sudden just go from 0 to 60. I mean, yeah. Even though many men may operate that way anyway.
Yeah.
You know, keeping in mind your audience as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I always say, rejection is part of dating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, better that you asked for the kiss and she said no politely rather than just doing it and then feeling weird at the end.
100%. 150%.
So, okay, I wanted to come back to like, there's this whole idea of like people who come to me, they're always like, oh, well, I need to be sexually compatible with someone. And I'm like, yeah, you definitely do. But, you know, I kind of have this theory that it's like, okay, if everything else is really good, you know, you guys have shared values, similar goals, you know, you want to be together, you can have enough conversations to kind of figure out the sexual stuff together. And I'm curious on your thoughts with that.
Yeah. I was actually really curious about your thoughts on this too, because in some of the podcasts I listened to, you had mentioned something about sexual chemistry, like you have it's a pet peeve or something, or like a conversation that
I just hate the word chemistry.
Oh, really? Yes,
oh my God, I know. The matchmaker here hates the word chemistry, which I can get on my soapbox again, but I'm worried listeners have heard it too much.
Okay, I want to know what your soapbox is about the word chemistry, but okay, cool. So it's not about sexual chemistry per se.
Yes, yeah, so here, I'll just give you like my brief spiel so you know where I'm coming from. So my whole problem with chemistry is on the first date, someone will say,
oh, yes.
I wasn't feeling chemistry.
Yes.
And I'm like, but how do we define that?
Yes.
You know? So I like to just replace chemistry with connection because that's something you actually have control over.
Right.
Like you said, you could have some touch thrown in to create that connection.
Yes.
You could ask, you know, more vulnerable, intimate questions to create that connection.
Yeah.
So then at least people feel like, okay, I can at least have some control over this versus this arbitrary thing that no one can really define.
Yeah, totally. I love it. Yeah, I love it. And I think it's a helpful replacement. I think that adjective substitution is a good one. Okay, so sexual compatibility. Yes. So I have an experience in my past where I met a guy that I really, really liked and I really, really, really wanted to date him, but I was not physically like over the moon about him. And he was an attractive guy, not the kind of guy I would go for. I'm sure you hear that a lot. They aren't the kind of person I would normally go for, ... And then you have to go, okay, but did going for all the people that you normally go for work out in your past? And that's certainly why you're hiring me as a matchmaker. So
right. If you're to play devil's advocate all these women.
The definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Anyway, so I was really into him, but I wasn't attracted to him. And I wanted to date him. He wanted to date me. It was not a situation where he was just like, okay, cool, let's just be friends and that'll be fine. I was like, nope, if I want to date this guy, I'm going to build my physical attraction to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that consciously. So I grew my attraction to him consciously. And how I did that was every time I had a thought about what was already attractive in him and about him, I doubled down on that thought. I was like, oh yeah, he surfs really well. Oh my God. He's like, look at how he deals with his clients. Like he's such a baller. He's so sexy about that. And then when I had a thought that wasn't conducive to attraction, I let it go. Like, oh, he's got love handles, or oh, he's a little older, or his hair isn't what I would want it to be. I would just let those go. Yeah. And so within a week or and a half, I was head over heels, like attracted to him. I won't TMI it, but it was one of the most sexually compatible relationships I've ever been in. Mm. And it would not have happened had I gone with the cultural understanding of you've got to have sexual compatibility and chemistry in order to be with somebody. And so I have this is a little bit of a pet peeve for me, is that I think that we don't really give the idea of building attraction enough airtime. And people really need to realize is like, you can build just about any thought bank you want in your brain for good or ill, you know? And if you're with somebody where it, like you're saying, like everything checks out in these great ways, but the sex piece isn't on, then, you know, hopefully they are open to some kind of like other ideas and resources and coaching and lots of books out there. And if it's a fundamental issue of attractiveness, just consider that you have leverage there. You have control over what and how you think if you're willing to build that muscle.
Right. Yeah, you're so right. People will give up right away. Like I even know I have a call later this afternoon there was a couple that went on a date last night. Talked to the guy. He's like, oh, it was great. Physically super attractive. Great conversation. All good things. Mm. He said, I felt like it was smooth jazz with the date. I'm like, okay. Love that for you. Mm. And then, of course, for her, she's like, yeah, we had a great time. But I don't know if I want to go out again. So I'm excited to kind of chat with her, you know, after this podcast. That'll be my next phone call.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it's a lot of time what I see with women more so. Mm-hmm. If guys like, nope, they see it, they're like, yes, it's good, I'm in. But I think for women, a lot of the time, like your experience, you know, we're like, oh, it wasn't this initial thing of like, I'm so into you, so I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. I really love that you talk about going on 3 dates before you make that call. I think that there's a real beauty in that deepening that can happen between people. Mm-hmm. And I also just really enjoy that it kind of goes against this trope, which is like, you know, when, you know, like she knows in the first 5 seconds if she wants to sleep with him, kind of a thing, or like, and vice versa, that there's just this immediacy to the way that we understand and make space for physical attraction in our society. And I just think people who only go with that are missing out on so much more that percolates and deepens and softens, like just the number of people that I have grown, like discovered attraction for later as I got to know them better, is I can't count it. Like it's all of them basically, you know, if you don't stop at one date and you keep going, I think you're really on to something, Abby.
Oh, and I'm so glad you can vouch for this too as your own personal experience. Yeah. You know, obviously, if you go on a date and you're like, I'm completely turned off and I can't see myself ever around this person, like, don't convince yourself. It's okay. Totally. But, you know, like you were saying, if like there's all these other really good qualities and then you're like, but I'm just not sure, you know, I don't see sometimes that growing as much for men. I think I've definitely seen it. But for women, like more so we can be like, oh, he has all these good qualities. And then now on the fifth date, I'm like, oh, hey,
yeah,
sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a really beautiful mm-hmm. thing, especially as you, because I think that attraction that is arrived at by deepening, I suspect is a lot more sustainable than attraction that's just mm-hmm. like this, like, because the attraction that's like, brainstem, like, oh man, that him, her now I want, is essentially, it's like it's reptilian, you know, it's yeah. from a very, very ancient part of us that is looking at, you know, symmetry and pupil size and, you know, waist to hip ratio kind of factors, which are going to age, you know, especially if you're in for the long game, like all of that stuff, it's going to go down. It's going to literally go down closer to the ground.
Gravity.
And the attraction that you build with somebody, I mean, that's, you built it. So if it ever goes away, you know how to rebuild it.
It is such a good point. Oh my God. I hope people listen to this episode again and again. If you need a reminder, this is going to be like before your first date, remind yourself yeah. that, you know, we don't want you to have that instant. I mean, if you can.
Yeah. It's a great thing to have. I mean, I got to say, the guy I'm with now, I had an instant like reaction, an instant attraction to, and it's built over time. And I'm like, oh, that is really nice. I get why we talk about it so much in our society. But I love knowing, I love having had the other experiences in my past where I grew it. It's just, it's a really great feeling to feel like you have control over the things that you don't think you have control over about yourself and your perceptions. And I, yeah.
Right. And in dating too, I think, you know, I notice a lot of people feel like they don't have control over the situation. Yeah. And sometimes that's why they will hire me, because then I have a little bit more control over it and it helps them a little bit more. But I mean, to your point of you've had instant connections, you've had ones that have grown, you know, if you're listening, I would kind of challenge you, you know, maybe the next time you go on a first date and you're not entirely into it, see what happens. Just go on a second, a third date. I guarantee no one is going to be mad at you or say you're leading them on. It's two dates more.
Yeah. Just a couple.
Exactly. So I want to come back to this whole idea of touch, because obviously that's what brought us here. What are some of the biggest things that guys you find are challenged by when coming to you and wanting to learn more?
They're challenged by a lot of the same, like when it, at the root level, it kind of tracks back to like, I'm not enough. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not handsome enough. I don't make enough money. She doesn't like me enough. She won't want me to reach out. A lot of the guys right now that I see are, in my opinion, the best men in the world. Like, I think they really are. They're the best men in the world. They're men that I would introduce my sisters to if my sisters weren't partnered. They're, you know, often in men's groups, they're doing their own work. Like, they're doing their own internal and personal work. And they have a deep level fear that by reaching out, by touching women, by expressing their desires for sex and intimacy, that they will be seen as, what would be the word? Like, unwelcome at the very least, but perhaps threatening at the most. And so it's a really interesting pickle. It's a really interesting pickle that men are in right now, because women are simultaneously saying, we want to feel led. We want to feel his strong masculine frame. But then if a man does something that she doesn't like, she's like, no, I didn't want that. You should have known that. And so he's caught in this, like, in this limbo of like, oh, do I lead the move? Do I lead through the first kiss? Or do I ask about the first kiss and perhaps show that I'm not as confident as she wants me to be. I don't know. And so a lot of guys are in a real quandary about how to be with women. And it goes for men who are in relationship too, like the guys who I see who are partnered and married have concerns and questions about how to express how much sex they want in their marriage and their relationship. And so to the people listening, like the concerns and the questions and the limbos that you're in, they likely won't go away completely when you're in relationship. And so, you know, when I was single, I used to think, gosh, it's just that side of the fence over there. It's like milk and honey, and like just being in a relationship is just going to be, it's going to take care of itself, and I'm going to have all this wonderful time. And it's true. It's really, really nourishing and amazing, but there are communication and issues and triggers and insecurities on the other side of that fence also. So the more you're willing, I think I wrote this and I said this to you once, Abby, I think maybe the last time we spoke, but I think the more that people are willing to face the triggers that meet them in their single life and just really work through what is aggravating or, you know, insecure, they will be better served in their relationships when you have them. And you will, if you want it and you pursue it, you will get one. You will have it. So the men, to the guys out there, just know that like this is a tricky time. It is a time of transition for all the roles that women and men hold, and that we all are not sure. Like women have their own insecurities and their own uncertainties too. Like nobody on either side of the fence has all the answers or should make the other side feel like they have none. So to the guys out there who are having this kind of quandary, I see you and I feel you, and I know your heart and I know it's in the right place. And I would love to be able to help all the guys translate what's in their heart into the external environment so that women really feel them in the way that they deserve to be felt.
And it makes me so happy that guys are going to you rather than a, you know, pickup artist type or anything like that. I mean, we've had those perspectives on the podcast too. And, you know, hey, everyone to each their own. But, you know, I think, you know, also learning from a woman is super important, I would think, when guys come to you. Because another guy saying, oh, here's how you should touch a woman, doesn't really make that much sense to me.
Yeah. Thanks. I mean, that's one of the things I think is really smart about what I'm doing.
Yes. Well, yeah. Hey, we can sing your praises all day.
Yeah, not patting myself on the back, but just truly like if you're going to learn, like I think both perspectives are really important, and touch is something that drives such a wedge between women and men that sometimes is verbalized, but usually is not verbalized. And there's just a lot of resentment and trigger gets built up in women about the way that men touch them. Mm-hmm. Even men who are not trying to take it, like certainly men who are not trying to take advantage. There's still ways that really good-hearted men touch that make women feel uncomfortable. And women don't say that. They don't mention it. They don't itemize that on their communication return.
Right. And it can even be someone you're in relationship with.
Exactly.
Maybe there's something that this person's always done that you're not so into, but you don't know how to bring it up.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you too, you know, what are some of the other big things that come up when you're working with guys? I know we talked a lot about the beginning stages with touch, but what about as you get a little more advanced? You know, like you said, behind closed doors, things like that. You know, is there a, you know, kind of pro tip starter pack?
Totally.
Give some of the listeners.
Yeah. So I call, am I allowed to use the P word on this podcast, or do you need to bleep it?
Okay. You can say whatever you want on here.
Okay. So I talk about how the way men approach women's bodies is a little bit like a bullseye, or the way women feel with many men is like a bullseye, and the center of the bullseye covers our breasts and our pussy. And like, that's the place that men go. That's the place that they think we want to be touched the most or first or hardest. And my strong suggestion is never to touch that first, is to look, if you're going to look at her like a bullseye, then let the other colors let other concentric circles on the outside be the places that you put your energy first or your intention first. So always come from the outside of the circle and then slowly move in. Tits, ass, and pussy are the place that you're going to be drawn to touch first. Those are the places that every guy touches her first. And it's the places that she has learned to play defense again on her with her own body. So you'll find that she'll pin her arm down by her side when you go to take off her bra. Or she'll cross her legs on the bed when you're going to take off her underwear. These little moves are not to be missed. These are the moves that you need to really start to notice and consider, gentlemen, because what she's telling you is that she's not ready for that yet. And so you need to go out, you need to start on the outside, start by moving the hair away from her neck, start with really good questions. Even before that, really good questions on the date, really good energy in your own field is like the most outside. And then as you move in, when it comes time to take off her bra, run your hand, you know, like under the shoulder strap on both sides, kiss her shoulder, move her hair away from her neck and kiss her neck. Run your hands along like the top lacy part of the bra that goes over her breast. Run your finger along the back strap. And then only like 10 minutes later would you actually like undo the clasp. And in undoing the clasp, you don't immediately like take it and throw it to the ground and like start manhandling her breasts. You're gonna
like a movie where you know you yes. bust into the house and rip your clothes off.
It's like very, 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 very unusual for movies to get sex scenes really right for women. But yeah, you'll do all this stuff and then bring your hands up, like do like little finger trails on her abdomen up to her up underneath her breast. Come use your like the webbing between your pointer and your thumb underneath her breast or on the side. And at this point, hopefully, like every single cell in her body is completely alert and she's like, all her receptors are like, oh my God, what's he gonna do next? What's he gonna do next? I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. But none of her is like, oh, I hope he doesn't do that. I hope he doesn't do that, which is what a lot of us are like about, especially our breasts and our tits and our ass and our pussy, which I call tap. I say those are the tap areas that you should not tap right away.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, so the bra and the underwear taking off is really, really good real estate to get very, very good at, because women usually will wear cute underwear on dates if they care about getting naked with you, and guys don't spend a second thinking about it. They just like rip it off, and she's spent like $200 on a set of really cute underwear that doesn't get appreciated, much less she's completely unturned on by the way he removes it. So just like slow down, guys, touch more of her and touch it more slowly. Those are like the basic, understandings of sensual touch for women. And then come to my workshop where I teach you how to use the breath as a compass for her turn on, because that when you start observing a woman's breath, you will observe so much more about her body than you ever knew was there.
I was gonna say, we gotta leave something up to imagination so that people want to connect with you more. And I know you host some amazing workshops too, so people who want to interact with you virtually, in person, I mean, you have so many resources. So, you know, where can people connect with you, get more info, get one-on-one coaching or group coaching? Fill us in.
Sure. So especially for the guys who are dating, the resource that I have for you on my homepage is going to be the best one to start with. And then that'll also get you updates on whatever I do in the future. And my homepage is www.howtotouchwomen.com. Howtotouchwomen.com. I run a multi-month academy called the Art of Touch Academy, which the next one will start in May 2023. And that is like the beginning of the journey to becoming a sex god. It's like everything from, you know, mindset and confidence into like how to flirt and how to take off her underwear, how to go down on her, how to kiss, how to, you know, do the nasty, if you will, how to have beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sex, actually is what I mean.
I'm glad you said do the nasty. Yeah. I was hoping we get that in at least once on this episode.
I have to be careful because a lot of the time people are like, wait, but do you think it's nasty? And I'm like, no. It's the most amazing thing in the world when done well. And then that, if guys are up for that journey, then in later in the year is when I teach like the actual Sex God Academy, which is all the stuff that men, you know, ask about that are like the what's next in sex kind of details. But those are both pretty big investments. And if people just want to kind of come for a 2-hour workshop or a 2-hour women's panel, I run those, you know, every month or two. And the best way to find out when is to sign up for anything on my website, and that will put you on my list. So guys, the website I gave you is the right one. And then for ladies, it's howtotouchwomen.com/ladies. And there's a free PDF and manual there for you on how to ask for what you want in bed.
Ooh, okay. We got freebies for everybody.
Freebies for everyone. You get a freebie and you get a freebie and you get a freebie.
Everyone, look under your chair.
Look under your chair for your virtual manual, for your digital manual being delivered to you right now.
Thank you for sharing all this information. Mm. Hopefully people have learned some things, they've been taking notes, can apply this to their dates and beyond. Yeah. And before I let you go, I always like to end with some little parting words of wisdom. Any other advice for single listeners? Could be related to touch or not at all in terms of, you know, being on their journey to find someone special.
Yeah, that is what you asked me in the last one. My advice for single listeners, this is a good, I want to make it really good because I was single for a really, really, really long time. And I had a variety of feelings about it. There were times when I really, really hated being single, when I didn't want to be dating. And then there were other times when I was reframing the fuck out of it. And I was like, this is great. And I get to discover all these people and I'm going to find the one. But if I'm reflecting on like really, like truly what was going on for me, then there is a feeling that I was the special one, and I was looking for somebody to meet me in my uniqueness and my specialness. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we tend to like that impression that like we're the unique one, we're the special one, and we're like out there looking for somebody who can match that. And if I could give myself advice back then, it would be a little bit get off of your high horse, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. other people are really, really amazing and really, really special. And everyone thinks that they are. That's the thing, is everyone, to them, everyone is their own unique and special person. So this then ties into kind of what I said earlier, which is like the ways and the places that I would feel rejected or triggered or disappointed in relationship and in dating are the same triggers that I have to work on now. So dating is an amazing landscape for learning about yourself. One of the most amazing landscapes we have as a, like one of the most amazing contexts we have for self-discovery is one of dating. So use it as a process of self-discovery, use it as a process of self-discovery and like go into your triggers and uncover what's underneath them. And then if you're like me and you kind of like err on the side of feeling more special than other people, just cut that out and see where it gets you.
Hey, great advice. Thank you. I feel like one day we got to like have a best of advice. That's how I always end the episodes. Nice. It'll be fun to put together. Nice. And Elizabeth, thank you again for spending so much time with me, sharing all of your expertise. We'll have all the ways you can reach out to Elizabeth in the show notes. So make sure you do so.
Yeah.
And learn how to touch women.
Yeah. And I just want to give you a shout out, Abby, because I think that you are just doing such a really amazing thing. And I really, really love your podcast and your vibe. And I'm so, so happy on behalf of people who are single that they have you as a resource. So people listening, like, don't underestimate this woman. She's really, really, really knows what she's talking about. And you just have such an amazing, kind and wonderful voice for podcasting, especially. So yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, totally.
You're going to make me cry. And not just because I'm 9 months pregnant.
I got her when she's good.
thank you. You're again welcome. And again.
Disclaimer. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. The stories and statements expressed herein are experiences and opinions. They may not represent the views of the production studio or the hosts. If you disagree with our content, that's okay. No podcast is perfect for everyone.